And now let's hear the story as told in the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, the 1st through the 7th verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might anoint Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us that is in front of the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, the stone had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But he has been raised. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you." The word of God for the people of God. Ooh, did you hear those words? Words in the song and words in the scripture that says, "Have no fear. Have no fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed." That's important for all of us to hear today, because I believe the fear factor is very much alive and well. It's not just some outrageously stupid TV show. The fear factor is alive in our lives. When we turn on the news and we hear about the crime rate and about a little 6-year-old girl being shot just by somebody coming into the store not too far from here and shooting, that doesn't, you know, the crime rate is everywhere. And if we're not careful, that fear factor can just overwhelm us. Or how about all the cancer that is around? It seems like we all have either had cancer, or we have someone that we love who's had cancer or who has died from cancer. It feels like it's an epidemic. Or then there's loss of jobs. I mean, companies that have been around for a long, long time are downsizing or in danger of going bankrupt. And people who've had jobs for years and years and years and done a great job are now out of a job because their company has gone out of business. And if they're not careful, that fear factor can just overwhelm us. Or what about terrorism since 9/11? I mean, we know that we're never out of danger of that. And we even hate to watch the news to get the weather report because, you know, this is tornado season. And then there were all those hurricanes. And I saw a whole TV show on the fact that the next tsunami, which is not supposed to be too far from here, will come. And this time it's going to hit Washington and Oregon. Oh. The fear factor can overwhelm us. Last weekend, Bob and I, along with 24 others, mostly teenagers, went down to Ford Field. And at Ford Field, they're having a big, 35,000 teenagers were there, and a big, big rally called Battle Cry. And I told you about it a couple of weeks ago. And they had big screens up there, and they were doing all kinds of things. And they're really trying to get the teenagers to stand up and say, "Stop. Stop to all the onslaught of all the negative forces that are in our society today." And as part of that, they showed a big video on the screen, this video that I can't get out of my head, but it was the kids who were running from a crack in the ground. It was like an earthquake, and the ground was opening up, and it was swallowing the kids, and they were running from this crack that was opening up in the ground, until finally a group of kids were together, and they turned, and they faced that crack, and they said, "Stop." And it stopped. And they were trying to get the kids to say, "We need to stop. We need to say stop to all this garbage that surrounds us all the time." But it just left me with this sinking feeling that here I am standing on an island with the ground having given way all around it. That's what that last scene was. It was so vivid. I did email to see if I could get a copy of that clip, but of course I couldn't. So I made my own. There's some ground cracking. You see that? And there's a little island there. Well, okay, it's not as vivid as at Teen Mania. No, but all right. You can use your imagination, because it does feel a lot to me like we feel like the ground is giving out around us. When even good people get mugged, and when even good people get cancer, and when even good workers lose their jobs, and when terrorism doesn't care whether you're good or whether you're bad, and those storms don't either, then we can feel like we are on an island, and the fear factor is holding us captive. Can you identify with that picture? Well, we can identify, and so could those women in Scripture. Those women in today's Scripture also, I believe, felt like they were on an island with the ground around them sinking in. For their leader had suffered, their leader had died, their leader had been humiliated, and now they had nothing. But they were sort of on automatic pilot, like, I don't know what to do. I might as well go anoint his body. That's what you're supposed to do after somebody dies. But they didn't think ahead, like, who's going to roll away the stone? They just went. But then that angel came. The angel came, and the angel came with news that would put them on solid ground, and put not only them, but us as well. People of all time and all places could be on solid ground and not have to worry about the fact that the ground was going to fall out from beneath them, because they have something really important. It was news. It was wonderful news. News that would give you courage, like a missionary that I read about just 2 weeks ago. And could I find the story again this week? No, but so I can't tell you the details, but about what country it was. But what he said will stick in my mind for a long time. He was in a country that was oppressed, and he was preaching not only the gospel, but trying to help people know how to stand up for themselves and to stand for liberty and justice. And so the government sent some soldiers to kill him. And when they burst into his house, he said, okay, shoot me. Go ahead. That's all right. I'm not scared of death. Heaven's going to be great. That's going to be wonderful. Go ahead and shoot me. Because you shoot me, I will be a martyr. My cause will be known, and it'll even be better. So go ahead, shoot me. Either way, I win, you lose. Well, guess what they did? They turned around and walked away. You see, he knew he had solid ground. He knew he was on solid ground because he didn't have to be afraid of death. In the play this morning, Lauren read this scripture. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That's important for us to realize. That is what Easter is about, that death no longer is the victor. And the little girl in the play said, oh, that reminds me of when Dad took the bee sting for me. You see, a bee had flown in their window, and she was scared of the bee, and so the dad reached out and caught the bee, and it stung the dad. But once it stung the dad, the stinger was in the dad's hand and was not harmful to the little girl. Well, in the same way, Jesus did that for us. Jesus took the sting of death. Yes, death is still around. People die, but the sting is gone. Because we know it's not the end. We know it's not the end. That there's more to this life. Because Jesus rose on Easter Day. That's the good news of Easter. Well, what about those women back there? What about the women? as they came to the tomb that morning, and as they heard the angel give them that wonderful news, can't you just imagine how they felt, how they wanted to just be so excited? Because now their ground was not falling out around them. Now he brought news that they were on solid ground. So we can just imagine how they were jumping up and down and how they were hugging and singing and saying, "Woohoo! Boy, Christ is risen. He's not dead. Isn't that great?" Isn't that what we think it ought to be? Well, you know what? There's one more verse in that 16th chapter of Mark. It's the 8th verse. And I didn't recite it because I thought you might not believe me. But I want you to take your Bible out of the pew Bible, and I got to get one up here because I was going to do that and forgot. Oh, you've got one. It's on page 55, and I want us to read it all together. Turn quickly to 55, page 55. You might think I forgot it, just like I forgot to tell you the stone was really big. I forgot that part. Okay. Now, do you find page 55? Go down to verse 8. It's right there. Right there. Let's read it together. This is after the angel has told them this good news. What did they do? Sing, dance, jump? Let's read it. "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Oops. Oops, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The end. Now, that's the end of Mark. You say, that can't be the end of Mark. No, no, there are some more words here, right? Well, you also say it says the shorter ending, then it says the longer ending. You know what? People just couldn't leave it that way. But these other endings were written over 100 years later after Mark wrote the original gospel. Mark left it this way. Doesn't that sound a little strange? Well, if they said nothing to anybody, what are you all doing here? They said nothing to anyone. What am I doing here? Well, obviously, we know that somehow the rest of the story got out, that there was something else, that's not all there is. It sort of reminds you a little bit about, that it appears that the fear factor has won. But we know that's not the truth. It reminds us a little bit of what happened in England when General Wellington was fighting Napoleon. You know, back then it was before instant text messages and cell phones and everything. So they had this system of lights that came across the English Channel. That's a picture of the English Channel. And after that battle, this message came across. It said, "Wellington defeated." And then the fog rolled in. And all of England was in dismay. Wellington had been defeated. What were they going to do? Napoleon had won. But then the fog lifted and the message came through again. Wellington defeated the enemy. You see, they didn't have all the message. Well, that's what it seems like happens in Mark. It seems like with Mark here, the angel comes with this wonderful, wonderful message, and there is a fog that covers it. The women left in fear and trembling, and they said nothing to anyone. The fear factor won. Well, why? Why does that fog cover the ending of Mark, the rest of the story in Mark? Why does it cover that? Well, we'll never know. Maybe someday they'll find it, and actually Mark had a longer ending, and it just got torn off. We don't know. But when I recite the book of Mark, which I've done on many occasions, and we come to the end, the conclusion that I come to is that maybe it was because Mark wanted us to tell the story. Because after you hear that whole story and then you hear they said nothing to anyone, you want to say, "No, no, I got to tell. And so maybe that's why he left it there, because it's up to us to tell the rest of the story. And I think that's a good reason. But this week, as I was struggling with this message, knowing I was preaching on it on Easter, we've only preached on this a couple times on Easter. Usually you take another one that has a happier ending. And I was worried about it. I had this cold. I couldn't talk on Monday and Tuesday. And I thought, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? And, you know, we always know there's going to be a big crowd here. And I also know that some of you are here and you won't give me another chance to preach to you till next year. I know that. You know, so I'm wanting to say something really dramatic and really inspiring and really great. So you'll be back next year, maybe before Christmas. Wouldn't that be nice? But I'm thinking about this angel. And I'm thinking about these women. And I'm thinking about all of you. Because I know you're in this picture. And I would really like to do something. I know most of you have something you're afraid of, something you're worried about. And I would like to say something that would just dispel that and give you that good news for that solid ground that you need to be on. But then I thought about this angel and the fact that that angel wasn't able to defeat the fear factor for those women. They ran away in fear and trembling. That was an angel. And then I thought, if an angel dressed in a white robe can't do it, then neither can a preacher dressed in a white robe. You know, I can tell you what I believe. I can tell you how important Christ is in my life. I can tell you how important this church is in my life. But that's not going to be enough. The angel, I'm sure, knew he had significant news. I bet he said it in a compelling way. But the message wasn't enough. The empty tomb wasn't enough. An angel wasn't enough. Do you know what it took? It took encounters with the risen Christ. That's what all the other gospels have. They have encounters. People actually seeing and talking to the risen Christ. Not just hearing about it, but actually seeing and talking to the risen Christ. That's what those other endings added on to Mark have to do too. It takes encounters with the risen Christ. The next few weeks, that's what we're going to be looking at, the encounters people had with the risen Christ. But you know, even that's not enough for us just to hear about it. It helps a little bit to hear about what they did. But we have to encounter Christ ourselves. Hopefully it will help a little bit if I tell you about my encounters and you'll say, oh yeah, that reminds me. Oh yes. Or you'll keep your eyes open and say, ah, yes, that's me. We each need to encounter Jesus in our own way. Maybe it'll be at a large gathering like a choir of the fire, or like it was for me when I was a teenager and heard Billy Graham. Remember him, that old man? Or maybe it will be when we're holding our child, our baby, like it is with Kristen on this day as she comes home from the hospital. As I remember it was with me as I held each one of my children and I thought, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? I can't do this. I know I can't do this. And then there was a calm assurance that God will help. Maybe it'll be then for you. Or maybe it will be when you are released from a deep-seated anger, like it was for me one time when I was so angry at someone who had hurt me time and time and time again that I finally let it all out and just said, I hate her, I hate her, I hate her. And I was so filled with that hate that I was willing to give up everything that was good in my life because preachers can't be filled with hate. You know, that's not what you think of preachers, is it? But then I prayed, God, I hate her, but I don't want to hate her. Would you take this hate from me? And then it was like a weight was lifted from my shoulders. I didn't even know I was carrying around that weight until it was gone. But when it was gone, the hate was gone as well. That was an encounter with a risen Christ that is as vivid as anything in my life. Maybe it will be with you. If you're carrying around some hidden anger and it'll finally get the best of you, you have to give it up. Or maybe it will be when there's a death of a loved one and you're standing at the casket and your heart is breaking, but you know there's a calm assurance that this is not the end and that they're released from their suffering and that you will see them again. Maybe it will come then. Maybe it will be something when you see something beautiful in nature, like the Grand Canyon or Old Faithful or a sunset over the ocean or the first daffodil. Or maybe it'll be something unusual, like as I was thinking about my encounters with the risen Christ today, I remembered a thing that happened when the kids were little. And my daughter is here this morning, like Susan is here, and I don't know if she remembers this or not, but we were coming home from Grandma's in Arkansas, and we were in a traffic jam to get across the Ohio River, and the kids were bickering with each other. This is before you had TVs and all that in your car, you know. And they were bickering with each other, and it was hot, and so we decided to get out of the car because we'd been sitting there for a half an hour. It hadn't moved. So we got out of the car, and when we got out of the car, a butterfly came and landed on Susan's shoulder. And all the other kids said, "There's a butterfly." And suddenly nobody was talking. We were just looking at that butterfly. It was crawling around on her shoulder. And everybody, all that frantic and bickering, it all stopped. We were almost sorry when the traffic started moving and we went on our way. Almost, I said. Almost. But maybe it'll be something like that. Or maybe it'll even be in worship here at Aldersgate. Oh, could that be something? You know, when you really feel the Spirit, maybe as the dancers dance or the choir sings or as Michael plays the toccata, maybe you'll feel God's Spirit just come down on you and you'll say, "Ah, yes, God, enter my heart." Because the good news is today that Christ will go ahead to Galilee, he said. That's their home territory. So Christ will go ahead to our home territory as well. We have to keep our eyes open. Keep our eyes open and be aware of the ways that the risen Christ is encountering us today. The good news is there is solid ground for you to stand on. The good news is that the fog will lift. Death has been defeated. The sting is gone. And the fear factor is defeated. You ask me how I know this? How do I know it? Because I have encountered the risen Christ in many, many, many ways in my life. And I know because he lives within my heart.